KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. I am a professor of health psychology. The holidays are a difficult time. We need to find a way to stay healthy. So I have a few tips for you so that you can get through the next few weeks and not completely fall off the wagon. And remember, health is a biological, a psychological, and a social event. So let us start with, I think, one of the most important things you should always be doing for your health, which is take live probiotics. They're in the fridge at one of those, you know, health food stores or grocery stores. They're live because 90% of your serotonin, your antidepressant, is manufactured in your gut, but your brain needs it. And so you not only have to take probiotics, but you have to feed those good bugs something good that they like to eat. Yogurt, kimchi, eat what you call prebiotics, cabbage, asparagus, mushrooms, onions. These feed the good bugs so that your gut can be healthy and it can make serotonin, which acts as your brain's antidepressant. I do want to say, alcohol kills those good probiotics. So, I know. Don't drink. Or don't drink so much and take more probiotics afterwards. When you go to your social events, I want you to practice mind over platter. Now, what I mean by this is your focus should be the social connections of the party. Say to yourself, I'm going to see who I can meet. I'm going to find out about people I haven't seen in a long time and what they've been up to in their life. If you let your brain focus on social connections and being curious and learning about each other, you will avoid the buffet table. Now, I know many of us are nervous. Some of you have social anxiety. So you go over to the food tray because you're doing nervous eating. Here's a trick. Chew gum. I know it's not so pretty, but when you're chewing gum, you're not grabbing the hors d'oeuvre platter when it comes by. Go and find somebody to talk to. It's much more important. Move your body for 30 minutes a day. That's all you need to do. Just get out there. I don't care if you swim, cycle, walk, run. Just move 30 minutes a day. It helps your body produce insulin. It is the healthiest thing that you can do, especially if you're pre-diabetic. Here is one of the best things you can do for your health, and it should be your New Year's resolution if it's not your holiday plan, and that is do not look at your phone before sleep. Oh, yeah. You're just going to check your social media just for a few minutes before you go to sleep. 2 hours later, you're swiping and swiping and swiping, and you've lost your mind. You're wide awake. And when you try to go to sleep, your head feels almost like it's buzzing. Don't ask me how I know that, but I know that because it's happened. Don't do that. Also, there's so much science and research to show this. Gratitude works. Stop and count your blessings. Anytime you feel envious about somebody else's life, just stop and look around your own life. And the most important thing that you should be proud of are the relationships that you've built, the experiences that you've had and you're planning to have. You know, humans do best in their mental health when we're looking forward. Actually, there's research to show that reading Travel and Leisure magazine actually brings more feelings of well-being than going on a trip. Yeah, because trips can be stressful. Reading the magazine is just you and your fantasy world enjoying the proposed trip that might happen. I also want to say this holiday season, keep it small. I know we have come out of quarantine and COVID and you want to go, yay, we're back. Let's do a crazy big. No. You know, last year when you were alone or just with your closest family and friends, it wasn't so bad. Making pressure on yourself is not good for your stress level. Not only do I want you to keep it a little smaller, I want you to slow down and connect with the people around you every day. You know, when you're taking out your trash can and your neighbor's there, how often do you stop and say, how you doing? When you're getting your coffee in your morning with your barista who looks so crazed and busy, when do you ever stop and just say something nice? I happened to go through an airport recently and I was in a big, long line at the TSA. And this poor young TSA officer, she was trying, you know, yelling and trying to get, and I was kind of giggling because I was kind of behind the plexiglass and I was seeing her. And I made a point of saying, And this is before Thanksgiving. Is it going to get worse? Is your life going to get worse? And she laughed and she goes, this is just the beginning. Let me tell you, the next few weeks are going to be crazy. And I'm like, well, I hope you get through it. I'm sorry you're going through this. And then she went, come here, come on. And she pulled me to the front of the line and I got right through it. That wasn't my plan. But I'm just saying, if you just stop and be nice to people and treat them as human beings, there's such a big payoff for you. This is what you need to do for your health. All righty. So take those probiotics. Very important. Let us move on to our relationship life. Probably the most common question I get on my social media. And if you do not follow me on my social media, you probably should. At Dr. Wendy Walsh, short form for doctor. At Dr. Wendy Walsh, no period. It's everywhere. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. Where else? LinkedIn. Where else? Instagram. TikTok. Me and TikTok. We're good friends. TikTok is really where it's at right now. There's so much going on, as well as KFI, of course. Don't ever miss this show. But the most common question I get that you send me on social media is, how do I get out of this situationship? Now, if you have never heard the expression situationship, allow me to explain what it is. A situationship is very different from a no strings attached sexual relationship. Because those no strings attached hookups, they actually have rules, all kinds of rules. Like, don't catch feelings. Don't expect me to call whenever. And everybody knows what the deal is, right? Not a situationship. Situationship is a little different. It's a dating relationship with no public definition. It does involve sex, but here's how you can tell if it's a situationship. You've been seeing somebody for a while. You really like them. They like you. Nobody has had the courage to have the what are we conversation. So you kind of avoid topics around long-term plans. You don't say, oh, next summer, do you want to? Nope. Doesn't come up in a situationship because nobody knows if the other one's going to go, next summer, are we going to be together? Right? The other thing is situationships do have inconsistent contact. Because, and by the way, one of the two partners wants to be in this situationship. They love keeping it light, either because they have an avoidant attachment style or they really are just using the other person for sex and they want them to think it's a really growing relationship. But the contact may be very inconsistent. They can go days, a week without checking in, and you can't complain because they'll say, but I'm not your boyfriend. Never had that conversation. And when you do have conversations in a situationship, they tend to be very superficial, maybe even a little sexual, right? Because you stay on the fluffy stuff. You don't get into deep emotional connection in a situationship. Now, some people in situationships actually have emotional intimacy, but and they have lust and passion, but they don't have commitment. They don't have definition. Another sign you're in a situationship, you have not met their friends or family. You're in a separate little compartment in their life. And here's the problem. The stakes keep getting higher and higher and higher as time goes on. Both of you like each other more and more as time goes on. But it makes you more afraid to have the what are we conversation because you're afraid they're going to say, we're nothing. And so you kind of do this cost-benefit analysis of, is it worth it? So when we come back, I have three ways that you can transform this relationship, actually any relationship that you're in, to make it more connected, more intimate, and that you can have better feelings of well-being when we come back. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see.
KFI AM 640. You have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. And we are joined by a few people on TikTok. And TikTokers, if you have not listened to KFI AM 640 before, you need to download the iHeartRadio app and listen live every Sunday from 4 to 7 p.m. All right, the reason why I've included a live stream on TikTok right now is because I get so many questions on social media about how to get out of a situationship. Now, in the last segment, I talked about what a situationship is, right? It's a dating relationship with no public definition. You guys like each other. You're having great sex. Everybody's afraid to ask the question, what are we? Are you my boyfriend? Are you my girlfriend? So I want to talk about ways that you can change really all the relationships in your life, but certainly this situationship. Number one, I want you to change your mindset about it. I've actually done this technique a lot recently. Instead of saying, how do I fix this? How do I survive this? Hear those how words? Instead say, what am I meant to learn here? And who am I in this relationship? You see how it changes your mindset and opens your brain up to so many other possibilities. What are you meant to learn in this situationship? Or whatever relationship you're in. Are you meant to learn what your boundaries really are? Are you meant to learn that you can be a loving, giving person? And the other question is, who do you want to be in this relationship? Do you want to be a doormat that gets completely walked all over and taken advantage of? Or do you want to be somebody with high emotional intelligence who actually, you know, can speak for themselves? All right, number two. You got to face this challenge. You know, the biggest problems in life always come, always, by avoiding conflict, avoiding challenges, kicking a problem down the road until it becomes bigger. So whether you're asking for relationship definition, whether you're asking for your needs to be met in whatever love relationship you're in, don't avoid it. Avoiding it makes the problem bigger every time. And finally, I want you to make fear your friend. Here's the thing. People think that they're going to eventually live a fearless life. Nothing could be further from the truth. What is that saying? Feel the fear and do it anyway. Or the brave, the difference between the brave and something isn't that they don't feel fear. Is that they feel fear and they're still able to take action. So I want you to know that fear is always going to be with you. Fear will be reduced the more often you have these prickly, uncomfortable conversations with people. If you're in a situationship, it might be, what are we? Or I'd like to have a defined relationship. I'd like you to be my public boyfriend or girlfriend. Or I'd like us to move to the next step and get engaged or move in together or whatever it may be. But you've got to feel that fear and be brave enough to have that conversation. Imagine that you're somebody watching and you see yourself behaving in this relationship. Who do you want to be in this relationship? Who would you be proud of in this relationship? That's what I want you to focus on. Now, I also want to tell you, because many people don't understand the sort of common stages of how love grows. They find themselves caught up in these situationships, these relationships with very little definition. And they're wondering, like, how is it supposed to be? I want to tell you how there's no one right way to be a human. There's no one right way to fall in love. But, yes, love is hard. But there's a path that is most successful. There are stages to a love relationship. Now, the first stage, you know if you're in a situationship, because you never get out of the first stage. It's the dating stage. Now, the dating stage is supposed to be an assessment period. It shouldn't go into a relationship on hold forever. It's a time for you to decide if you want to move to the next step with this person. It is simply an assessment period. Now, how long did it last? People always say, how long? When should you ask the question? Well, I want you to know this. You should ask for sexual exclusivity before you have sex for the first time. Because after you already started having sex, it's too late, right? Now, asking for sexual exclusivity is not the same as asking for relationship definition, right? Are you my boyfriend? Are you my girlfriend? You just say something like, look, while we're getting to know each other, I'm attracted to you. You're attracted to me. I'd like to know that I'm the only person you're sleeping with while we get to know each other. Now, you are saying, I'm not asking for us to post it on Instagram. I am not asking for us to, you know, send a Christmas card with both our pictures on it. I am not asking that we run around as boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm just saying, while we're dating and getting to know each other, when we enter a sexual relationship, I'd like to know that I'm the only person you're sleeping with. It is perfectly okay to ask for that. It's perfectly okay for biological reasons and psychological reasons. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about the other three stages of growth in a healthy relationship. What comes after the dating stage for those chronically stuck in a situationship? You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Every measure, tasted your teardrop stains, yeah.
You were cold as ice. Woo! Long ago.
AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show, and we are talking about the science of love. Love. If only it was just about Cupid and its bow. If only it was about what romantic comedy movies tell us it is. But love is far more complicated. And it is a science. It has biological pieces, psychological pieces, sociological pieces. So we're talking about what are the four stages of healthy relationship growth. Now, you know, there's not just one right way to be a human, but generally love relationships grow like this. They start with a dating relationship, right? And in that dating relationship, partners are assessing each other. Smart partners make sure that they ask for sexual exclusivity before they begin having sex. And then, because of the delicious rush of neurohormones that assault the brain when you enter a sexual relationship, the next thing that comes is the honeymoon phase. This is where you believe your lover can do no wrong. They are perfect. They can do anything, and you think they're perfect. Because there's actually science to show that you overreport their value, you underreport their flaws. The brain just does this. It's the body's way of creating bonds to eventually reproduce children, if that's what you're going to do. Now, it is this honeymoon stage that can last anywhere from 9 to 12 months. The dating stage is usually like 3 months. You're going to ask for something, 3 or 4 or 5 months. But in that honeymoon phase, that's when you need to ask for a relationship definition. There's the answer to your question. You're always asking, when do I say? When is it a good time? Usually somewhere between 4 and 12 months, you're going to say, who are we? Where are we going? What are we? Right? Because then you get to move on to stage 3. You're not going to like stage 3. You see, what happens is your brain gets those wonderful neurohormones for a long period of time, and they're kind of like a drug on your brain. And if the person's not with you, you have withdrawal symptoms, the whole thing. But after a while, you build up a tolerance, just like a drug. You get used to having them around. And then everything calms down. You open your eyes wide and you start to do a cost-benefit analysis. Now, just want to warn you, after the honeymoon phase, there are a few rough weeks, and too many people break up in this stage when really it's a very important stage of love. What happens? One partner or both retreat a little bit. You hear about men going into their cave. You hear about them not, men and women not calling each other quite as much all of a sudden after everything was great. Now, if you have an anxious attachment style, that's going to trigger you big time. But just know this is normal, where you try to, you've lost yourself in this person, in this honeymoon phase. And now you got to like just retreat just a little bit, take a deep breath so you can remember who you were, okay? This is also a time for you to execute your boundaries and go, you know what? I actually don't like it when you do this. What I would like is this. And this is also, you could call it a cost-benefit stage. I like to call it a negotiation stage. This is also where you're going to have your first fight. And I don't think you should move to stage four unless you've had some conflict. Because you want to hone those conflict resolution skills. You want to know that you can get back into relationship after a rupture. The road to intimacy is paved by ruptures followed by repairs. It is during that repair phase where you say, I'm sorry, baby, I didn't know that hurt. I've learned so much about you now that you grow closer. Because research shows emotional intimacy is the glue that keeps people together for long-term monogamy. So let's say you get through the cost-benefit stage. You've had a few rough weeks. Somebody has pulled back a little bit. There's been a little bit of fights. There's been some boundary execution. And then you come back into relationship and love. Then you get to move to stage four. And that's the life-building stage. If you're a long-distance relationship, that's when you move to the same city. If you're in the same city, that might be when you talk about moving in together, getting engaged, buying a home, talking about kids and your future. This is the putting two lives together stage, the life building stage. It is stage four. But for some reason, too many people now stay in these part-time situationships and they don't ask for a relationship definition. They don't ask for sexual exclusivity. They aren't good at negotiating in the cost-benefit phase where somebody retreats or somebody steps on somebody's boundaries. This is important growth. This is where you learn to get along. This is where you learn to have good conflict resolution skills so that you can move to stage four. You can't go from situationship to stage four planning a life together. You got to go through those other stages. And in order to do that, you've got to be brave. All right. When we come back, I am finally on KFI AM 640 going to be taking your calls and your social media questions. If you would like to call the show, write down this number. It is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. During the next break, producer Kayla is going to open up the phone lines and you can call with your relationship questions. I have also, lots of them are coming in on social media. Somebody in particular has asked me, how do they get rid of their anxious attachment style? I'm definitely going to talk about that because I used to have one. So I know what it is. I know the pain. So 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. Do I have time for Pastathon, Kayla, or is he wrapping me up?
You can do Pastathon.
Oh, great. I want to remind everybody here in Southern California that Chef Bruno of the Anaheim White House Restaurant feeds over 25,000 meals to children in need every week here in Southern California, and he could not do it without you. Last year, my KFI listeners sent in nearly $750,000. You go to pastathon.com. It's like marathon, but it's pastathon because he feeds them pasta and sauce, right? Here's how you could donate. You can go to pastathon.com or you can go into any Smart and Final store in California, Arizona, and Nevada. When you're at the cash register, you say, I want to donate $10 to Pastathon, and they'll just add it onto your check. The other thing you should know is that this Tuesday from 6 to 10 p.m., the Tim Conway Jr. Show is going to be broadcast live from the Anaheim White House Restaurant. That address is 887 South Anaheim Boulevard. That will be from 6 p.m. till 10 p.m. You can stop by, meet everybody, watch the broadcast, and you can donate pasta and sauce on site. Look, you don't even have to get out of your car. Somebody's going to come and take it. I want you to know that 100% of your donation goes to Katerina's Club, which is Chef Bruno's charity, to help kids right here in Southern California. So don't forget to do that. All right, when we come back, I will be taking your calls with your relationship questions. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Should I stay or should I go now?
KFI, AM 640, you have Dr. Wendy Walsh with you. This is the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show. We're going to take a segment or two and answer your relationship questions on air. I'll also check my social media. I see lots of questions coming in there. The phone number is 1-800-520-1534. That's 1-800-520-1KFI. Producer Kayla, do we have somebody on the line?
We do. We have Dan with a question.
Okay. Hi, Dan. It's Dr. Wendy.
Hello, Dr. Wendy. How are you doing today?
Good. What's your question?
Well, as I mentioned to your producer that I was going to ask you a question if you were sitting down because, and with the follow-up, then I was going to move right into the question. But I have never been married, don't have any children, and I'm just turned 47 today. And
oh, happy birthday today.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Wow. Yes, thank you. And I've never, you know, been underneath the, for what it's worth, it's probably almost borderline laughable, right? I mean, to not be underneath the sheets before marriage because, you know, I'm a third generation ministry brat. I live in Sacramento and I go to church, but I don't know what to do because, you know, my father told me that if you do fall, if you happen to do that, I mean, God's not, the Lord's not going to throw you in hell because of it. I mean, he'll forgive you, but, you know, you want to try to make sure it's pure. And I know I'm not going to find a woman who hasn't probably been underneath the sheets before marriage, I mean, or whatever the case may be, but I just don't know what to do. I mean, I know I'm no Casanova, I'm no Elvis Presley. I mean, I know what I am, and I love the Lord, and I've been trying to find a, you know, God-honoring woman in church, or, you know.
Okay, Dan, so let me say this. First of all, you are not unusual. I know you think you are, but you are not unusual at all. It is very common. What you are living with is the struggle between religious ideals that are very difficult to live under, but that make you feel comforted, and also trying to find a partner in modern times who may or may not be living by the same religious ideals. I do want to say this, that there are dating apps out there for Christians that you should be all over, and that you should be going to as many Christian social events, because there you're going to find that person. But I also highly suggest that you reach out to a therapist so that you can become straight in your head about what really you want. And, you know, so much of what you've been taught feels secure to you, right? It's a good, safe place for you to be. But in some ways, those rules might also be disabling you. So it might be harder for you to find somebody. So, Dan, thank you for calling. I know it's a tough one, but I highly recommend that you go and talk to a therapist, particularly a Christian one, and talk about this, you know, cognitive dissonance between what you want and deserve in a close love relationship that involves physical intimacy and the ideas you've been taught about maybe it being sort of bad to happen before marriage. But thank you for calling. I know it was a very sensitive thing. If you'd like to call, the number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. I do want to make sure I go to social media because there's a really important question that came in on my Instagram that I want to address because many, many people ask me this question. The question is, how do I get rid of my anxious attachment style? Do you have any beginning tips? So I used to have an anxious attachment style. Actually, mine was more anxious ambivalent, meaning that I craved closeness. I longed for love. My whole model for love was mixed up with a feeling of longing and loss. That was love to me, you know, partly because when I was growing up, my dad was in the Navy and he was gone in a very inconsistent way on the ship. So I never knew when he was coming back. And so much of it was about longing. And so over the course of many years, through therapy, through creating a healthy, secure bond with my children, I was able to heal my anxious attachment style or my anxious ambivalent. I say anxious ambivalent because I'd be longing and longing. And then if they came closer, it'd be like, go away, like come closer, go away kind of thing. I want you to do this first. If this describes you, I want you to have some way to or some good coping strategies against your anxiety. It may be exercise, it may be mindful meditation, it may be a lifeline of calling a friend, right? Having the social support, people around you who just remind you that you're lovable and that if it's taking somebody that you're interested in too long to call or text back, you're still okay, all right? But I also want you to choose differently because you're going to find that your patterns are always the same. These new mates may drive a different car, have a different job, wear a different shirt, but the feeling they bring to you is the same. So I'm going to ask you to learn to tolerate kindness. Because here's what people with an anxious attachment style do. They meet somebody who's kind and they go, ew, he's too kind. She's too kind. No, they're too nice. And that doesn't feel right to you because you need to have the longing. That's part of your model for love. And then I want you to learn how to distinguish between that partner who's kind and that partner who might have an anxious attachment style themselves. So they're behaving like a Klingon. It looks like they're being kind, but really what they're doing is being kind so that you'll be nice to them back. And when you aren't, when you miss the beat at one point, which happens, they get angry and you don't want that. You want to choose somebody who has a secure attachment style. I'll talk about more this more when we come back and I'll be taking your calls. The number is 1-800-520-1KFI. That's 1-800-520-1534. You are listening to the Dr. Wendy Walsh Show on KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.